Second and 16, Hatcher over the middle. Caught, touchdown. Guess who? Jonathan Adams. With 38 seconds to go, this kid is amazing. Real deal.
That was the winning touchdown for Arkansas State as they knock off Kansas State by a final score of 35-31. K-State loses their opener. KU loses their opener. Iowa State loses their opener. Texas Tech might as well have lost their opener. It was not a good weekend for the Big 12. The Sun Belt sunbelted the Big 12. Embarrassing, and perhaps maybe the Big 12 should have been the Big 10 all along and just said, you know what, we're just not going to play this year. It was not good. Not good at all. And it's a black eye on the conference right off the bat. You had all the focus on your conference for the most part, and that's what the Big 12 came up with. Very disappointing, but at the same time, at least it was football. At least we had that. But, of course, people now jumping off the boats and jumping off the cliffs, and the season's over after one game. So that's what happens in sports. So, hey, we've got it back, Dusty. We got football back. We got all the negativity back. It's great. Yay. We can shift our negativity in the world today and society and politics, and we just shift it right on over into football. I don't even have a good football team. Well, at least you had a football game to watch. You know, why don't we try to look at the silver lining as much as we can? This is a sports show, so we will talk and we will break down and we'll talk about the issues facing KU and K-State. There are many for both, but it doesn't mean the season is over. Not over.
No.
Unless COVID, big outbreaks, and then the season's over, and then those same people complaining about their team will be whining about how this isn't right, why aren't we playing, fight right through all that COVID. It's nothing. Those young kids can handle it. As I sit here on my couch drinking beer and eating pizza. All right, local sports, Dusty.
Yeah, volleyball from over the weekend, and all these scores are posted at the website at ncksports.com. As Beloit competed at the Southeast Saline Tournament, they went 1-2, lost to Circle in Smoky Valley in 2. They beat Concordia in 2 in their other match there. So, again, they go 1-2. They're 4-4 on the season. Now Concordia went 0-3. The same teams that they played lost to Sullivan or Smoky Valley in Circle there on Saturday. Sylvan Lucas, they went 5-0. They hosted their own tournament. They went first place. They played that one all the way through pool play. They beat Lakeside, Natoma, and Bennington, and then won in semis over Logan Palco in 3. And then the championship, they beat Bennington in 3. Sylvan Lucas now 8-1 on the season. Lakeside went 1-2, beat Natoma and lost to Sylvan Lucas and Bennington, and then Lincoln went 1-2 as well. Went over Chase, but losses to El Saline and Logan Palco. Trigo tournament, Osborne went 2-2 over the weekend there in Joaquin, finishing in second place. So wins over Northern Valley and Stockton in pool play. They lost to Russell in their other match, but had enough points as far as that was concerned in their pool to get to the championship match, falling in 2 to Trigo. Clifton Clyde tournament. Thunder Ridge went 2-1 there with wins over Clifton Clyde and Blue Valley Randolph, and they lost to Hanover. Thunder Ridge now 10-1 on the season after the weekend. And Rock Hills went 2-1 at the Solomon tournament. They beat Solomon and Wakefield and lost to Elyria Christian. So those are the notes and final numbers from our area teams in volleyball this weekend. And you can go back and see all the scores again, as I mentioned, at ncksports.com.
All right, broadcast schedule this week.
High school football coming up on Friday night. We'll cover two games for you on Katy Country 94. We have Concordia at Beloit, and then on Z96.3 through the Lake, we'll have Lakeside at Osborne. Pregame coverage beginning at 6:30 and kickoff at 7 o'clock for high school football. We got locker room chats coming up Wednesday and Thursday as well, so stay tuned for all that on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com as well.
Concordia Beloit live video streaming, ncksports.com, be the Beloit Trojan channel. And tonight, JV football, Beloit hosting Southeast Saline at 5 o'clock. You can watch that on live video stream at ncksports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. So we begin, we'll start with college football. I know the Royals played yesterday, but most people around here have checked out of the Royals. So we're going to go with what is big, and that is the opening part of the football season. Everybody's been clamoring, everybody's been wanting college football, and we got it. And now K-State and KU fans are like, wow, that's what we got. That's what I was waiting for. We start with K-State because KU won't take as much time, in my opinion, because KU is what KU is when it comes to football. Listen, if you're a KU football fan out there, if you're somehow not embarrassed by what took place the other night, I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. That was really sad. So let's start with K-State. shall we? This is a game that, you know, KU had no chance of winning that game the other night, by the way. I mean, that was brutal. I mean, right off the bat, I texted Dusty with 2 minutes within the game. I said, KU's not winning this game. I said, they're losing. I didn't think it'd be that close, and it wasn't. It was a complete embarrassment. But let's start with K-State. They had many chances to win their game. If I'm a K-State or a KU fan, who feels worse? I think K-State fan feels worse. Here's why. Because there are no expectations for KU. I mean, KU is what KU is. But for K-State to lose to Arkansas State, that to me is, you know, there's more expectations for K-State. They're coming off an 8-5 season. They went to a bowl game. They have a senior quarterback who's very experienced returning. I mean, there's no reason K-State should lose to Arkansas State at home. First game of the season. Now, you can make all the excuses in the world, and I've heard them. I've heard, well, K-State, COVID-19, some guys didn't play. Do you know how many starters Arkansas State was without on Saturday?
I honestly don't know how many it was.
Well, it was so many that the line in Vegas went from a 9-point favorite for K-State, so then somehow Vegas got wind of this, even though the media did not. And the line went to 14-point favorite for K-State. Why? Because Arkansas State lost nine starters due to COVID-19 and other injuries. Absences that were not announced by Coach Blake Anderson before the game. K-State itself was without five players from its two deep. And yes, K-State shorthanded a bit without Wykeen Gill and Joel Youngblood. Ended the game with third string center Plainville's Hadley Gillum and a third string safety who had a key penalty on Arkansas State's fake punt attempt in the fourth quarter. But K-State wasn't down nine starters. Arkansas State was. That's why K-State was a 14-point favorite. And Arkansas State still won. And here's the crazy thing about it. Arkansas State didn't even play that well. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. They had one player that played outstanding, but as a group, they didn't play great.
They had turnovers. They had penalties. They missed a field goal. They had all kinds of opportunities, and they didn't take advantage of them. And I almost put out there on social media, but I try not to comment during games too often anymore because it's just, what's the point? I want to enjoy watching the game the best that I can. And I was sitting there watching this game. I'm like, who wants to win this thing? Because both teams kept giving the other team chances. And it really came down to the difference in the game was an outstanding stud wide receiver that K-State couldn't cover. And why Arkansas State didn't throw the ball to him more, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. So K-State dodged a bullet there. But this was just a really rough performance. And I know that Arkansas State played a game and K-State hadn't. To me, that's the bigger excuse you can use of anything. Because I will repeat, Arkansas State was without nine starters. If you say, well, you know, we didn't have that home field advantage, I don't care where you play. K-State should be Arkansas State. I don't care if you play in the playground, the high school football field. I don't care if there's fans or there are or aren't fans. I don't care if there's 11,000, 50,000, 100,000, two, or zero. K-State should be Arkansas State. Should they not?
Yes.
Shouldn't K-State be the more talented football team?
Yes.
Watching that game the other day, I wasn't sure of that. The most talented player on the field was the wide receiver of Arkansas State. And
absolutely.
He proved it. He was fantastic. As you heard, the game-winning touchdown pass from Lane Hatcher. I mean, Arkansas State was rotating quarterbacks for crying out loud, which I still don't understand that. But anyway, Lane Hatcher, touchdown pass, 38 seconds left to Jonathan Adams, who had 8 catches, 98 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And, oh, yeah, he wasn't even 100%. He was playing with a brace on one knee because of a slight MCL tear. He's playing through an MCL tear. And he still was able to do what he had to do against Kansas State. Chris Kleiman, head coach of the Wildcats, on Jonathan Adams and his impact in the game, including the game-winning catch against his defense.
I thought he was too good today. A couple times we didn't have our back to the football and didn't turn back and make a play. And then, you know, two of the touchdowns he had, we had good vision on him, and he went over the top of us and made a play. And then the last play, we were trying to double him, and we kind of fell off of coverage and can't do that against a really good player. And give that kid credit. He's a phenomenal player, and we need to be better.
They have to be definitely better, and hopefully they will be because they're going to have to be in Norman. Coming up on September 26th against Spencer Rattler and the Sooners, climbing not the outcome that they had wanted.
Disappointing today in our play, not disappointing in the fact that we did play. I still, hats off to our medical staff, to Gene Taylor and his group for allowing us to keep going and keep playing. And it wasn't the outcome that we wanted, and we didn't play particularly well. I know that what the guys have gone through the last month to 5 weeks trying to prepare to play, and we can't make excuses. The guys that played, we're counting on to play and have success and make plays when they have the opportunities. And I said to the guys in the locker room, this is the kind of adversity we're going to face all year.
And that is so true. Now, a lot of different guys had to step up for K-State. Coach Kleiman was pretty proud of those guys.
Even though we knew the guys that were out, we had a lot of guys get banged up in the game that had to step up. We were down to our third-team center. I thought Hayden Gillum did a great job. Down to our third-team safety, I thought Ryan Hennington did a great job. But all that being said, it's frustrating when you take a loss and you feel like mistakes and stuff that we knew you're going to have them in the first game. Then you throw in the fact of the lack of practice time and stuff. You know, it was frustrating for us.
So let's start on the offensive side of the ball. The biggest concern, Wyatt Thompson, the voice of Wildcats, was with us a few weeks ago. He said, without a doubt, there's no question, the biggest question mark or concern for the K-State football team is their offensive line. Five brand-new starters, in essence. And they struggled. They really did struggle. The K-State rushing attack, which they need to be a team that can run the ball effectively. And if they can't, then it puts on Skylar Thompson's arm, and I think we've found out now over his career he's not going to carry you. Rush offense, 39 carries, 91 yards, 2.3 yards per carry against a team called Arkansas State. That's not going to get it done. Skylar Thompson, you know, it seems like, you know, I like Skylar Thompson. I do. I think he's a good kid and he's been through a lot, but he is what he is. And I just remember when he led that comeback against Oklahoma State, if I remember correctly. I think it was his freshman year. His freshman year, he showed, you know, played a little bit and showed some flashes. And all of a sudden, I heard on Sports Talk Radio about how Skylar Thompson was going to be a pro quarterback. He was that good. He was going to play in the NFL. He was that good. I was like, whoa, dude, let's pump the brakes a little bit. I mean, he's only played a little bit. Give him some time here. And then, of course, Bill Snyder didn't help him in his sophomore year. Mm-hmm. Because he yanked him after he made a mistake and put Alex Delton in, who couldn't throw the football. So that wasn't the best decision Bill Snyder ever made, and that did not help Skylar Thompson. But Skylar Thompson last year played, I would say, good. Sometimes average, sometimes good. I didn't feel like he ever played, like, great last year. Maybe he did. Maybe there's a spell he did. And I've compared Skylar Thompson to Alex Smith, except he's not at Alex Smith's level when it comes to being a quarterback in the National Football League. Listen, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to present and be realistic here. Skylar Thompson, I saw it a lot in the Liberty Bowl game last year. We saw it some during the season last year. We saw it again on Saturday at Bill Snyder Family Stadium against Arkansas State, is that Skylar Thompson doesn't stick with the play. I mean, he will sometimes. But there are times where he just, I don't want to call it panic because he's a senior. He shouldn't be panicking. But he takes his eyes off the receiver downfield. And he will tuck and run it. And I think there are times where he's worried about making a mistake. And that reminds me of Alex Smith. You're either going to check down or you take your eyes off the receiver. You don't allow it to materialize. Even though you have time, you have happy feet. And, yes, I know he has an inexperienced offensive line. But last year he didn't. The Liberty Bowl was a great example. I was about ready to pull my hair out. Because I don't know how many times Skylar Thompson last year against Navy tucked the ball and ran and didn't even give his receivers a chance. So that was frustrating. And you look at his numbers after the game against Arkansas State, 17 of 29 for 259 yards and two touchdowns and no interceptions. And some people will say, well, they didn't watch the game. They'll say, Skylar Thompson, that wasn't his fault. Listen, it was a collective fault. I mean, K-State did not play well defensively. The special teams was not very good. I mean, they had blocked punt, but the kicker missed two kicks. The special teams wasn't super great. The return game is usually pretty solid. The running backs, nothing special. Deuce Vaughn was all right, 12 of 47. Everybody's going crazy about Deuce Vaughn. He averaged 4 yards a carry. So he shows flashes.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when your offense struggles that much, he's going to stand out when he makes one nice catch and run. Listen, he's fun to watch, don't get me wrong. But I don't think he's a guy that's going to carry the ball 25 times for you and be a workhorse in this offense. And there are people like, well, why didn't he get the ball more often? Harry Trotter, why did they give him that? Because this kid, Deuce Vaughn, is small in stature, and he's probably not going to be able to take the punishment of carrying the ball 25 times a game. And let's also ease the kid into the situation, yeah. All right? He's one of the inexperienced kids on this team. But the offensive line, major issue. No surprise there. I mean, there's no big shocker that the offensive line struggled. Maybe people didn't think they were going to struggle as much as they did. But here's the thing. The one thing that K-State has really going for them this year is that they've got their quarterback back, right? They have a seasoned veteran senior quarterback at the helm. K-State's offense was 1 of 11 on third down.
Mm-hmm.
1 of 11 against Arkansas State. Skylar Thompson and Joel Klatt, I thought, was spot on. And there were times where Joel Klatt said, hey, that was on the receiver. He didn't finish his route. He cut it off. That's not on Skylar. But he also pointed out Skylar missed a couple of really what should be fairly easy throws for him. Right over the middle, mm-hmm. where you have Sebastian Taylor wide open about two steps, and he missed him not once but twice in this game. Now, in fairness, he put one on Knowles, but it was pretty good. Down the middle, that the defender made a good play, raked the ball out, and Knowles went down. And everybody wants to talk so much about Malik Knowles' great one-handed catch, which was a phenomenal catch. It was.
Yeah.
By the way, the catch by the Arkansas State receiver was even better. And I know it wasn't called a catch, only because his back landed out of bounds. He caught the ball.
Yeah.
That was the better catch. But since it didn't count as a touchdown, it won't ever go down the highlight reel on ESPN. Malik Knowles' catch was phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. But if you compare the two, there was much more difficulty when a defender is shoving you in the chest as you're trying to catch the ball. Malik Knowles had nobody around him, and that's where I want to go with my point. So K-State fans get all excited, and they throw stuff on social media, and they replay. They got the replay and the highlight of Knowles, and they're like, eh, that's going to be on SportsCenter tonight, and that could be a nominee for the catch of the year in college football. And it's a phenomenal catch. But here's what most people miss. And I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here. It should have never been that hard of a catch.
Hit him in stride. It's a touchdown. That's
exactly. The pass was so off. Malik Knowles had to go up high and grab it one hand and catch it. If Skylar Thompson throws it to him where he should throw it to him, and the guy, Knowles, was wide open. In the NFL, when he came down, he could have got up and still ran in for a touchdown. That is how wide open Malik Knowles was. But in college, once you hit the turf, you're down. Okay? I would like college football to change that rule, by the way.
But 100% agree.
But Malik Knowles makes an unbelievable catch. It should have never been an unbelievable catch. There was no defender within 5 to 10 yards of him. That's a pass that Skylar Thompson missed. But you look at the stats, which are misleading, and that'll go down as a catch and positive yardage. That was a miss. That was a touchdown he missed. He missed on 3 touchdown passes. I'm not saying he has to be perfect. I'm not saying he has to complete every one of them. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo missed a wide-open Sanders in the Super Bowl, and that would have changed everything. So pros miss throws, too.
The guy that people think is going to be the number one pick in the draft misses a lot.
Yes, he does.
Trevor Lawrence.
He does.
That's why I'm worried about him as a pro prospect. But,
right.
But, yeah, Skyler's missing guys.
And Lawrence is a sophomore, by the way. Okay.
Or
is
he a junior.
He's a junior now. Okay. Yeah. Skyler's a senior. But this is against Arkansas State, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Skylar Thompson, I'm sorry, did not play very well.
No, he didn't.
Not at all. And you know how I can say that without even looking at the stats? All I need to know is 1 of 11 for third down. But all the misses he had that would have been touchdowns, and they win this game. Chris Klieman talks about the issues on offense for his football team.
We just didn't move them, bottom line. We just didn't block well enough. We didn't communicate well enough. And for us to be successful, we have to play better up front. And those guys know that. And that's, I mean, hey, and once again, we're not pointing any fingers. It's not just the O-line. Every position has to play better.
I would agree with that, no doubt. Will Howard came in, made a nice throw and play action, and then all of a sudden he came out. I didn't understand the timing of putting him into the game.
Joel Klatt said after the game that Skylar was banged up on a couple plays before.
He was,
so they wanted him to just get a little bit of breather and rest, and that's why. And then he said, make no mistake, Skylar's our guy.
All right.
He said, we just wanted Will to get in there and give Skylar just a little bit of a breather because he got banged up.
Well, that makes some sense then, because otherwise it didn't.
Because, the timing was a little off, I thought, too, until I heard that.
Right. Okay, so that makes some sense. K-State defensively allowed 489 yards to Arkansas State, platooning two quarterbacks. Their kicker, who was pretty reliable last year, missed 2 field goals, and one was really, really horribly bad. 8 penalties, 85 yards. Yet they had the time of possession in their favor, 34 minutes to 26. And as I've said before, time of possession is highly overrated. And that's an example again. I mean, and then Deuce Vaughn, like I said, was probably the one bright spot I took out of the game. I mean, he showed the potential to make some big plays. So if they can get the ball in his hands a little bit more without wearing him out, there might be an opportunity there. So, you know, when I look at this game, I hear the excuses. I've read the excuses. Well, you know, practice time. Yes, and this shows that practice is valuable, no question. Didn't play a game. Okay, I listened to that a little bit. We were short guys. I will not listen to that. I will not listen to that. That's ridiculous. And here's why it's ridiculous. Arkansas State was missing 9 starters. You know, this is somebody making an excuse that K-State was, well, we didn't have Joel Youngblood. If we had him, we would have won. Arkansas State could say, if we had our 9 starters, we would have blew K-State out. I mean, it's always convenient to only look at one side of the puzzle. That's it. You're one side of the fence. Well, we were missing guys. That's why we lost. No, you didn't. You lost because Arkansas State beat you or you gave it to them, whatever way you want to look at it. But you beat yourself. I guess that might be fair to say at times, no question. But that was a bad loss. That was especially when you consider Arkansas State was without 9 starters. Well, K-State was on the third string center. Yeah. So? Well, they're on the third string safety. Yeah. So? Arkansas State was missing 9 starters. Let me repeat that. 9 starters. The line in Vegas went from 9 to 14. A 5-point swing. You don't see that hardly ever. From one day to the next, because Vegas got wind of it. So, as Chris Kleiman said, and I'll give him a lot of credit, he said in there, no excuses, and he's right. No excuses. None. Because as soon as you start making excuses of, well, we had our third-string safety, we had our third-string center, no, that's not the reason you lost that game. You know, third-string safety making a pass interference penalty on a fake punt attempt, that was not, he didn't lose the game for you. All right, Gillum snapping the ball before Skylar Thompson's ready for it, and it's 15-yard loss. That did not lose the game for Kansas State. What lost them the game was 1 of 11 on third down, their quarterback missing wide-open receivers, and the running game averaging 2 yards a carry, and the defense giving up 489 yards, and the kicker missing 2 field goals. That's what lost you the game. Against a team that was trying to somehow, and you fell for a trick play again, which they saw against Navy last year. And that got Arkansas State right back in it. It was 21-7. K-State seemed to be in control. And then the trick play, you know, the wide receiver, halfback pass down the field, wide open, they executed. And they're right back in the ballgame. And when you let an underdog hang around, you're playing with fire. And that's what K-State did.
Yeah, that's right where I was going after you finished there. Listen, when you're up 21-7, have a chance to be in the first half up 24-7 if you can make the field goal. True. That was the terrible one.
Yes.
It was really bad.
Yes.
And then you give up a score closer to halftime, and now you're only up by 7. That was it for me. Like, it turned there, and there's no excuses. That you can talk about, I don't care if they're at their 5th safety.
Right.
Like, when you're up 21-7 at home and in control of a football game,
you should finish it.
You need to finish it.
Especially the opponent line. Missing 9 starters.
Yes. And I know home's not home like it used to be home.
Sure.
There's not as many people there. It's not as wild there. And that, I think we've seen a little bit that does play into the opponent's hands for sure.
I would agree.
It's not as difficult for them to deal with some of that stuff.
Sure.
And I think we've seen that at both levels.
Sure.
But, I'm not using that as an excuse. It's 21-7 in the first half. You know, toward the end of the first half, you've got to finish it. There's I don't care what happened during the rest of the game, to be completely honest with you. Now, if you're playing a Big 12 school, then, yeah, you're going to have some things go your way if you start losing guys and have people injured and things like that.
Sure.
But this is, without question, an inferior opponent.
Yes.
Okay, there's no question about that. And like you said, if they're losing 9 guys, there's not any question that you're better than that team talent-wise. And so you got to go out and prove it and play like you are better than them. And let's stop getting beat on trick plays. Like, we just did that in a game we just played. That's why I said right away, I said Arkansas State obviously watched the Liberty Bowl.
Yeah, they did. They pulled out. They pulled all kinds of trick plays.
And then
nothing to lose.
Downfield on that. And you know, it's just like, and everybody's like, I see some people on on Twitter, like, oh, they got to resort to trick plays to beat us. No, they're resorting to trick plays to beat you because they know they can on that play. They're not resorting to that.
It's
they're
part of the game. And K-State can run trick plays too.
Yeah, and you know, last year when that happened against Navy, the people were like, oh, Navy won on a trick play. And I'm like, it wasn't really a trick play. It was a smart play. It was a play that they knew that would work. You know, trick plays are, I think, things that you literally – during the course of a game are trying to catch a team off guard. But Kansas State, the people watch the film, okay? People know what these teams are doing. And that for Navy, that's probably in their playbook. Mm-hmm. That's not a trick play. So Arkansas State sees that works.
Sure.
So it's a play for them. It's not necessarily a trick play during the course of a game.
No.
It's a play they, okay, we can run that now because it'll work.
It was a play
and
play
call. And I think it's just the way they look, that's why they call them trick plays.
Sure.
But, you know, most trick plays are like ones that we just have this on our back pocket to use at any point during the season. We don't analyze who we're using it against. And if you watched the Liberty Bowl, you know that this play will work against Kansas State. It's not just some novelty trick play you have in your bag.
Right.
It's something they knew would probably work, and it 100% did. And so that was the turning point for me, and I don't even have to pay attention to what happened personnel-wise the rest of the game as a K-State fan. And I know there's some of those people that are going to get out there and make excuses, but you're not hearing from me.
You lost 35-31 to a team, once again, missing 9 starters. So, you have no more non-con games to tune up.
No.
And you got to go to Oklahoma and play the Sooners, which I'm going to tell you right now, this is what I know what fans are like. I know and it's no different from one team to the next. It's pretty similar. And that is K-State fans, the fair weather K-State fans have already jumped off the wagon and given up already. And they already have told everybody, we have no chance of being Oklahoma. We're going to get rolled by Oklahoma. Oh, their quarterback, the young kid, was phenomenal. Yeah, against an FCS school called Missouri State, who was 1-10 last year. Okay, Spencer Rattler, 14 of 17, 290 yards, 4 touchdowns in 1 half. Yeah, that looks pretty impressive. Consider who they played. Also remember that nobody gave K-State a chance of winning at home against Oklahoma last year. Not a single K-State fan I know gave them any chance of even playing close in that game, let alone winning. I remember we talked on this very show about how they nearly won with Alex Delton at quarterback. Why can't they beat Oklahoma with Skylar Thompson at quarterback? And they did.
Mm-hmm.
And they kicked their butt after being down early. K-State's going to have 2 weeks to prepare. They're angry. They're mad. They're upset with what took place. They were embarrassed. They're going to go to Oklahoma. Oklahoma has still got to get guys back from COVID-19. They've got a quarterback that only made 1 start in his career against inferior competition. K-State, yes. Do they have an inexperienced offensive line to go to Oklahoma? Yes. Oklahoma's defense isn't all that. And it will not be 80,000 fans in a hostile environment. It'll be 25% capacity, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be different. So I guarantee you K-State fans have already said, well, we're 0-2 to start the year. We're going to lose to Oklahoma. Now, why don't you learn from what you've looked at in the past? Okay, yes. When you went to Oklahoma the last time, you got drilled. It has nothing to do with this year. It has nothing to do with it. And if you look at the first game of this year, yes, it looks bad. Oklahoma rolled a team that was horrible, and K-State didn't beat a team they should have beat. You know, you get Youngblood back, you get Gill back, there's 2 weapons for you, okay, especially Youngblood. Okay, you bring those guys back, get a few other guys back that weren't not eligible, but not available to play. Your offensive line makes some adjustments. Skylar Thompson doesn't miss the deep ball down the middle of the field. And I know those are all ifs, but I know K-State can beat Oklahoma. You know why? Because it happened before. Now, am I going to predict it? No, not in Norman. I'm not going to predict it. And could Oklahoma steamroll K-State? Absolutely. But for K-State fans to immediately jump off the wagon after losing Arkansas State, you got to remember something. And I'll go back to it again. And Dusty's going to help me remember their opponent because for some reason, was it Western Kentucky? Colin Klein and Kansas State won their first game in the year 10-7.
Eastern Kentucky.
10-7. And how'd that team finish?
They finished 10-3.
10-3 is a pretty good year, wouldn't you say?
Started 7-0.
Yeah.
Then got rolled by Oklahoma.
Yeah, right. But the point is, they had a really poor first game, barely won, and that wasn't the end of the world. And, Yes, I know they won the game 10-7, but there were people freaking out then. I remember. So it is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Yeah, the season's a little bit shorter than normal with 10 regular season games. Say your customary 12. But it's too early to jump off the wagon. If Skylar Thompson, listen, if Skylar Thompson hits on two of those three throws we just talked about, K-State wins that game probably 45-35, maybe 45-28, something like that. I mean, it changes the whole complexion of the game if Skylar hits those passes. So maybe against Oklahoma he will. But Skylar Thompson is what Skylar Thompson is. He's a decent quarterback. There were times again against Arkansas State where he felt some pressure that wasn't there, and he took his eyes off, and Phillip Brooks running wide open across the field, as Gil Clapp pointed out.
And that's
a play he's got to make.
And you'd say take his eye. He never saw Phillip Brooks.
That's what I'm saying.
Skylar, he
puts his eyes
down
too soon.
Guy,
well, that
he
too.
He doesn't go through progression.
He doesn't. But he also puts his eyes down to go run because he feels pressure when sometimes it isn't there.
Yeah, he leaves too quick.
Yes.
But the problem that you hadn't addressed that I meant to a little bit ago was that there are probably, I'd say, about 20%. 20 to 25% of the pass plays that K-State runs, mm-hmm. he has no progressions. Mm-hmm. He's
one read or nothing.
Walking out of the huddle looking at Malik Knowles,
yeah.
and that's where he's looking when the ball gets snapped.
Right.
That's an issue for Skylar Thompson.
I
he
agree
doesn't
you.
Go through progressions.
I agree.
And he's not. And that was a particular play right there where he was staring to the left, did not see Phillip Brooks even a little bit, and then tucked too fast.
Yep.
Well, he didn't tuck too fast at the point
that
he had to tuck. He actually
right.
did have to run.
Mm-hmm.
But he was never looking.
No.
Anywhere other than to the left, where Phillip Brooks was way over to the right.
And that should be better from a senior quarterback.
Yeah.
So K-State loses. Tough, hard loss for K-State fans to swallow, I understand. No doubt. Now we turn to Kansas, where the Jayhawks, well, let's just say it wasn't pretty.
First and 10 from the 25. McCall, there he is. Wide open, touchdown.
Good touch.
It's Hiley.
That made it 28-0 in the first half. Coastal Carolina against Kansas. Just an absolute embarrassing first half for the Jayhawks. There's no other way to put it. Down 28-0, 28-3 at halftime. They lose 38-23. Second straight loss to Coastal Carolina. And Coastal Carolina puts a video out there breaking up the rock with the rock chalk Jayhawk on it with a sledgehammer, which, hey, you know what? Until KU beats you, you might as well have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
Pinata last year. Thank goodness no fans had to pay money to watch that game. Because there were no fans allowed at KU game, and thankfully nobody wasted money watching it in person. How bad was it? You knew KU was doomed when they can't even spell their quarterback's name correct on the jersey. Thomas McVitie was their starting quarterback. They misspelled it on the jersey. Let me repeat that. The starting quarterback for the Kansas Jayhawks football team's jersey was misspelled. That's awesome. Embarrassing. On all levels. Three turnovers in the first half, two interceptions, a lost fumble. They never seem to pick the right quarterback. Even when Kansas can't figure out who to pick, then they pick the wrong one. It just happens all the time. Remember how they kept denying Carter Stanley a chance to play, but yet when he'd come in, he'd usually do something decent? Oh, no, he's not the guy. He's not the guy. He's not the guy. Then finally, they just, oh, gosh, I guess we're stuck with this guy. So they start McVitie, 5 of 9 for 20 yards, one interception. So they go to the guy that they apparently didn't like as much, Miles Kendrick, and he goes 15 of 24 for 156 and two touchdowns and helps his team score 23 points. Maybe it'd been different if Kendrick started the whole game.
Yeah.
I don't understand what KU's doing. KU's offensive line struggled mightily. Their defense made Coastal Carolina look like the Oklahoma Sooner offense in the first half. They just went right down the field, boom, 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 boom. 89-yard drive made it easy. Les Miles said his team was in the right mindset. Well, if that's the right mindset, I have to be very concerned if I'm a KU Jayhawk fan. Miles' poor start is what held the team back. That's certainly true.
I like the team that I coach because I think they want to play and I think they want to be excellent. So, the poor start with the first five possessions, three of them turning into points for the opponent that knocked us out. And we had the opportunity to come back and work towards that end, but did not have the good fortune with some of the plays that were really big plays that went against us.
Coach Miles says the whole team needs to fix their mistakes. That sounds familiar to what Coach Kleiman said earlier, wasn't it?
I think we were adequately prepared. I think that we came into the stadium with the right mindset. The issue being you can't turn the ball over. If you turn the ball over like that, you're not going to win games. And our guys understood that. We met as a team right after the game, and it's not something that one guy has to fix. It's something the team has to take ownership of and work through.
All right, I'm going to say this. It's going to sound like a broken record. I don't want to spend much time on KU football because I'm going to say this again, and I know Dusty agrees with me. I think most KU fans out there will agree with us. But until Kansas addresses the quarterback situation, until they get a bona fide, legitimate, starting, clear-cut starting quarterback, this program is going nowhere. Agree?
Oh, 100%. I mean, like every year, every week. Every week.
Every week, every sometimes, quarter. I don't know. Yeah.
Who's the quarterback?
I mean, I had Brian Haney on, the voice of Jayhawks, on Thursday. He'll be on again this Thursday, brought to you by Andrews Insurance Agency, and he even chuckled when I asked him. I said, I'll ask you the question I've asked you every single year you've been on the show for 5 years now. We're only a few days away from, 48 hours away from kickoff. Who's going to be the starting quarterback? He doesn't know.
Yeah.
And that's not Brian's fault. That's the team. Well, we're going to really mess up the opponent by not announcing who our starter is. Dude, if you have two guys and you can't decide who the starter is, you means you don't have a good quarterback. That's as simple as that. Yeah. If you have two quarterbacks and you can decide who to play, it means you have two average quarterbacks. You don't have anybody as a clear cut that's good. And Kansas has been this way ever since Todd Reesing. I mean, Kansas hasn't had a bona fide quarterback since Todd Reesing. And, oh, how'd that team fare? Pretty well. That was a pretty good team. Won the Orange Bowl. Yeah, I know last year 5-7. Still 5-7. Boy, Kansas fans would take 5-7 heartbeat. I saw people on social media bring back Mangino. Yeah, why not? He's the only guy that proves he can do something at the University of Kansas when it comes to football. I mean, Glenn Mason did okay. That was way back, early 90s. Mm-hmm. Different format now. You're playing the Big 12, round robin, all that. Listen, until Les Miles and his team and his coaches recruit a bona fide, legitimate starting quarterback, this program is not going anywhere. Now, maybe Miles Kendrick will be the answer. Maybe they'll actually decide, hey, instead of a platoon system, let's just go with Miles Kendrick and just go with him as long as we can, unless he plays really poorly. Maybe that's what they'll do. Or maybe they'll keep, you know, moving in and out quarterbacks. I'm going to tell you, any team that has a platoon situation in college football, pretty much 98% of the time, I can only think of one situation where it worked, and that was only because Tebow was in these short yardage situations. To me, it wasn't really a full-fledged platoon. Now, I know Arkansas State did a platoon. They won a game against K-State. That's not going to win them the Sun Belt.
No.
You can't be jerking quarterbacks in and out. And we've seen it. It doesn't work. K-State tried it. Doesn't really work. KU's tried it. Doesn't work. You've got to find a quarterback. And it's got to be the number one thing on the recruiting trail. Forget everything else. You've got to find a quarterback. You've got to find a stud quarterback. And maybe KU is going to have it with the Daniels kid. They like him. You know, I heard the same thing about Kendrick when he first came there. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Until you see the guy play, yeah, we got all these three stars. I heard Tim Brando talking about all the three stars KU's got. Wow, great. Can you develop them? It don't matter what their stars are. I don't care what your star rating is. I really don't. Can you develop guys? Dane Chris was a 5-star. I use that example all the time. Colin Klein was a 2-star. Jordy Nelson wasn't even rated. Okay, come on. Let's just focus on, you got to get guys that want to play at KU, first of all. Second of all, you got to coach them up. But you also got to find some guys that have, you know, bona fide talent. And what's the most important position on the football field at any level?
Quarterback.
KU hasn't addressed it, still hasn't. And maybe maybe no great quarterback wants to come to Kansas. Maybe they're just banging their head against the wall and they have no chance of getting that guy. But I thought Les Miles, who I think they've done okay on the recruiting trail. I know they're going the high school route. It's going to take some time. KU fans do have to be patient because they're not doing the Charlie Weiss JUCO route that put them in a gigantic hole, okay? So it's always year two for Les Miles. So I'm going to tell you, KU fans, don't be just shutting it down and saying Les Miles has no chance of doing anything at KU. I think he still could. But I think the expectations were a little bit higher than they weren't realistic. I mean, everybody's like, well, the first year they're going to win 3 or 4 games, maybe 5. Second year they're going to be bowl eligible. Does that look like a team that's going to be bowl eligible to you? Of course, there's no bowls this year.
No.
So we don't have to worry about it. But that was embarrassing. 28-0. I mean, Coastal Carolina looked like Oklahoma's offense. I mean, or somebody else had a high-powered offense. KU had no answers whatsoever. Then they kind of, second half, defense played better, made some adjustments apparently. Coastal Carolina might take the foot off the gas a little bit. Kansas offensively, Kendrick made some throws. You know, Puka was banged up a little bit. The offensive line really struggled, but then started to do a little bit better in the second half. Once again, it's just one game. they got to go to Baylor, right, to start the season September 26th. Baylor hasn't played yet. They're going to play Houston this weekend in a newly scheduled game. So there's no need to freak out, your KU football fan. Did you really have legitimately high expectations for this program this year? If you did, well, good for you. You're optimistic. Yeah. But odds are you didn't. So there's no need to freak out or panic for your KU fan. But I think the problem is the excitement. Well, Les Miles come to KU. They created that excitement. That excitement just went out the window. Well, last year I think it went out the window for the most part anyway. But you at least had a great win against Boston College. There was a flash in the pan, like, wow, 48 points. You beat Boston College on the road. What a great win. Maybe they're making improvements. They beat Texas Tech. They got a Big 12 win in the right direction. And then you open up with this goose egg against a team that beat you the year before, and you had every motivation, every reason to kick their butt this year.
Yeah.
That, I mean, Coastal Carolina to me looked like the more talented team, the faster team, and the better coach team. Just calling it as I see it.
Yeah, and you know, I just some of the stuff I saw on social media and this, that, and the other, and it's like I feel like a lot of, and I don't know if the players felt this way, but I feel like a lot of fans and just general people even around that are close to KU felt like, okay, we're rescheduling Coastal Carolina and we're going to beat them this year. That's the only reason we want to play them again this year. And it's like they just thought they were going to beat Coastal Carolina and get their payback. Like it was just a given. Like you're coming into town.
Yeah.
You
got lucky.
You surprised us
year.
And got lucky in a 12-7 game last year where we just didn't do the right things and this. And it felt like that from stuff I read.
I agree with you.
It felt like they're just coming into town and this is our chance to get payback. And they forgot that, Coastal Carolina might come actually and maybe even be better than they were last year.
And they were.
And buried you before you even had a chance. And it's like, I think maybe you should maybe just focus on you, no matter who the opponent is.
I agree.
And go play football in week one.
I agree with you.
But it did. It had that weird feel. Like, just everybody thought that this was just a given. They're going to come in. KU's going to get revenge.
You know, we talked about on the Express real briefly, but we were talking, we mentioned the games, and I know the Arkansas State-Kansas State game, we talked about how that won't be an easy game. Everybody thought it would be. And if we had known Arkansas State was out 9 starters, we probably would have said it'd be an easy game, and we would have been wrong. And, you know, KU, there are people, everybody pretty much was picking KU only because what? KU can't possibly lose a Coastal Carolina back-to-back years? It's KU. Of course they can. When's basketball start again? It's the question you always ask every year. I don't care who the head coach is. At the University of Kansas. You know, God bless Les Miles for taking on this job. But then I say, God bless him for taking on this job. Well, he got plenty of money to come to take the job and come out because, Wow. That's all I can say. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, Big 12, bad weekend. They got sunbelted. Iowa State keeps cyclonizing as a ranked team. They lost to the Louisiana Raging Cajuns 31-14, who are now ranked, by the way, the Raging Cajuns are. Iowa State allowed a kick return for a score and a punt return for a touchdown in that one. Iowa State always overrated, it seems like, under Matt Campbell. He's had some, you know, nice wins. He beat Oklahoma once, of course. But at the same time, it's just they played at a level of competition. I have to admit, there is a sports personality that we all know, or that Dusty and I know, that was making fun of Iowa State on social media because they lost. And as soon as K-State lost, he quit doing that.
Yeah.
And I was sitting here going, you know, you might want to make sure K-State's got this one in the bag before you rip Iowa State. And he kept ripping Iowa State, and then K-State lost, and suddenly he shut her down when it came to talking about Iowa State.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to be careful pointing a finger and having fun against everybody else when, you know what, you might not be any better. Texas Tech, they should have might as well have lost. They beat Houston Baptist. Houston Baptist. Some people don't even know there's a college called Houston Baptist.
They've got a really good baseball team. That's why I know who they are.
All right. Houston Baptist, FCS school. Houston Baptist lost last week 57-31 to North Texas. Alan Bowman threw for 430 yards and 2 touchdowns. Texas Tech had to stop Houston Baptist on a 2-point conversion late in the fourth quarter to hang on and win 35-33. Texas Tech's defense allowed 567 passing yards to Houston Baptist.
Not good.
Not good.
Come up with something even different than that.
Wow. We mentioned Spencer Rattler, a nice debut for Oklahoma. I saw some people going, people that don't follow Oklahoma don't know anything about what Oklahoma has. I understand it. But there are certain people that have to cover more than just one school nowadays. And then they act like they're all shocked because Spencer Rattler is like this new toy or something. Spencer Rattler was a highly, heavily recruited quarterback. I mean, he is legitimately a stud athlete. So we know that Lincoln Riley coaches up guys and they win Heismans or go to the Heisman Trophy Award ceremony every year. So why are you surprised Spencer Rattler had a great game against Missouri State? I mean, I don't understand it. You know, we get these overreaction because K-State lost. Then there's the overreaction of Spencer Rattler going 14-17 for 290 and four scores. I understand. Stats are sexy. I get it. It's really cool. Spencer Rattler may end up winning a Heisman for all I know. Possible. But don't act like Oklahoma just found some guy off the street and turning this guy into a great player. He was already a great athlete. He's a really bona fide stud quarterback. Highly recruited. One of the top quarterbacks in the country was recruited, and Oklahoma got him. So let's not sit here and act like we're shocked that Spencer Rattler played well. But I saw that by a few people. Like, man, you need to watch more than just one team play football. You really do. You need to follow the whole Big 12 instead of one team. My Lord. I mean, anybody that follows recruiting knows Spencer Rattler is a bona fide top-flight recruit. I mean, if Jalen Hurts didn't transfer Oklahoma, Spencer Rattler may have been the quarterback last year. Seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
But, man, you know, he's fun to watch. There's no question about that. The Big Ten is considering changing their decision and perhaps starting football on October 17th. There's no vote yet, but there is a lot of noise out saying that they're going to vote at some point and that they think they got enough votes to overturn this decision somehow, some way, and that they're going to have football. You know, and here's the thing. The Big Ten's going, wow, look at this. Big 12's playing. SEC's going to play. ACC played some games. They're playing. They've got COVID. I mean, Georgia Southern had 33 guys inactive for their football game because of COVID, still played.
Yeah.
And so the Big Ten's like, we're losing a lot of money here. Oh, we really need to reconsider this. And yet it's so funny. ESPN put something out there. It was a video. I tweeted you on this. I don't know if you watched the video, but ESPN put a video thanking Notre Dame for agreeing to go to the ACC so ACC could have football, basically saying that Notre Dame saved football. And yet they ripped Nebraska when they begged to play. And Nebraska says, we want to play, and they put a little pressure on the Big Ten. And now what do you know? It's not just Nebraska. Michigan, Ohio State, their head coaches, Penn State put a ton of pressure. Yet I don't see Michael Wilbon, Desmond Howard, and all these people ripping those schools for doing the same thing that Nebraska did and had the stones to do from the very beginning, and then everybody's followed their lead. They just wanted to play. That's it. How bad is that to say you want to play? How horrendous and horrible is that to question your conference that's now being questioned by everybody in America?
Yeah, when virtually everyone around us says we're playing and you tell us we're not.
Nebraska was ahead of the curve. The national media, those guys at ESPN Bristol, blew it again. NFL. Started the season on Thursday when the Chiefs win, and now Tom Brady is a Buccaneer, and we got to see a lot of games yesterday, and the Bucs, well, started out well.
And Brady's going to keep and take it in for the touchdown. Tom Brady slams it down, and he's got a touchdown for the exclamation point at the end of his first drive as quarterback of the Tampa Bay Bucs.
First drive, touchdown. Oh, Bucs are going to the Super Bowl, baby. And then, not so good. Tom Brady, two interceptions. Bucs offense struggled. Only had a little over 100 yards in the first half. Saints beat the Bucs 34-23. The Cowboys lose to the Rams last night 20-17. Congratulations, Dallas. You wanted a new coach. And I'm not going to say you shouldn't have, because I think Jason Garrett had run his course there with the Cowboys, no doubt. But Mike McCarthy is who Mike McCarthy is. Mike McCarthy did the same stuff at Green Bay.
Yeah.
And last night, Mike McCarthy became conservative when he shouldn't have, when he had a hot quarterback. And then last night, I don't know, and I really was surprised Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth weren't second-guessing this a lot more. 11.5 minutes to go in the game. You're down 20-17, the Cowboys are. They have a 4th-and-3, not 4th-and-1 or inches, a 4th-and-3 inside the 15. And to decide, instead of kicking a field goal to tie the game with 11.5 minutes to go, they just go ahead and go for it. And the rookie wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb of Oklahoma, runs a 2-yard route on 4th-and-3. They throw it to him, and what do you know? He got tackled short of the first down. And Cowboys never came close to doing anything the rest of the night. And, yes, I know there was a questionable pass interference at the end of the ball game. Do you realize that? I didn't think. I saw it live, and I was like, that's not interference. I saw the replay. I'm like, wow, if we call that, we got to call it on every single pass play. I understand the angst and the anger from Cowboy fans out there because of that missed call. But here's an idea. Your coach missed a call. Your coach, if he would have kicked the field goal like he should have and like most people would have in that situation, instead of going for 4th and 3 inside the 15 with 11 minutes to go and then running a 2-yard route for your play on 4th and 3, here's an idea. Kick the field goal so then the pass interference doesn't end up being anything because you go to overtime.
Yeah.
Because that's what they were playing for, was a field goal to tie the game. Okay?
You already had
the
receiver, that opportunity.
The receiver was tackled or fell down and was touched, caught the ball. They negated it due to offensive pass interference. Odds are the Cowboys, they're run down the final seconds of the game, they would have kicked the field goal. They wouldn't have scored on that drive anyway.
No.
You already had your field goal, and you're trying to get a field goal so badly after you passed on a field goal. That's what lost you the game.
Yeah.
You can blame the officials all you want, but you gave up 3 points.
Yeah.
Why?
Why? I just laugh at, like, at, you know, the
America's team.
The OPI call cost them the game. If people were not, if you were watching and you watched the replay, the literally the play right before that, when the Rams got pressure,
mm-hmm.
there was a missed hands to the face.
Yes,
face
I
mask.
Saw that.
Like mm-hmm. he hooked his helmet this mm-hmm. way.
Didn't get.
And
called.
I'm like, they didn't call that on Dallas. And no. I'm like, maybe that was a makeup for not. Maybe they saw the replay and said, hey, you missed a face mask.
Maybe so.
No, it wasn't. But what I'm saying is, a lot of people like to say ball don't lie. You know, and like you got away with one. Right before that.
Sure.
Because that guy was putting pressure on Dak, and that guy reached out, and he hooked him in the inside of that face mask, and his head moved to the side, and they didn't call it. And I'm like, yeah, what, were you going to complain? If
didn't
they
hear Cowboys
that
complaining about that, did you? Did you hear
that
Cowboy fans
the play
complaining
right
about
before that.
Yeah, I didn't see Cowboy fans complaining about
no,
that.
They didn't talk about it.
That's convenient. The Cowboys are 1-7 in their last 8 games decided by one score or less. That's brutally bad.
That's not good.
That's horrible. Patriots win over the Dolphins. No Tom Brady, no problem. Cam Newton, 2 rushing touchdowns. Patriots with 8 guys opted out, and their defense still looked fantastic. It was against Fitzpatrick and the Dolphins, it should be pointed out. Dolphins always start slow. Ravens rolled the Browns 38-6. Lamar Jackson, 20-25, turned 75 yards, 3 touchdowns. He looked great. It was the Browns. Baker Mayfield has gone backwards. Russell Wilson still has it. Seahawks beat Atlanta 38-25. Russell Wilson yesterday was 31-35. And there were 2 drop passes. 31-35 for 322 yards and 4 touchdowns. I have the Seahawks in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. That's my pick with my buddy Todd. And I know you're high on the Seahawks. Is that your Super Bowl pick too? Because we never asked you your Super Bowl pick.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah.
I know you got the Chiefs, I'm sure.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'll say Chiefs and Seahawks.
Okay.
Works for me.
Okay. Phillip Rivers is still Phillip Rivers. 36 of 46 or 363 yards, but throws a big-time interception late in the game. And the Colts, Rivers' new team, went to Jacksonville. Jacksonville, there was talk of them going 0-16. They're tanking for the number one pick. They got rid of all their players, and the Colts with Phillip Rivers' $25 million contract for an old quarterback, and they lost at Jacksonville. Rivers, 2 interceptions, 1 touchdown, but he'll still be in the Hall of Fame because he puts up a whole bunch of meaningless stats. Raiders outlasted the Panthers 34-30. The Lions blew it again. If you're a Detroit Lions fan, man, it's rough. 23-6 lead in the fourth quarter. Of all the quarterbacks, Mitchell Trubisky comes back. 3 touchdown pass the fourth quarter. He got the start for the Bears. DeAndre Swift, rookie from Georgia, dropped the game-winning catch with 6 seconds left. I'm watching this live on Fox, and I'm as soon as the ball is going to the running back's hands, I'm like, oh, my God, Detroit's going to win the game. And then all of a sudden the ball, he dropped it. It was the game-winning touchdown. I don't know how the Bears allowed him to get that open. He flat-out dropped it. The Lions blew 7 fourth-quarter leads last year. 7, including that. Remember, Mahomes, Chiefs mm-hmm. went down the field, won that game. The Washington football team, probably with the shocker of the day, they were down 17-0, 27 unanswered, and they come back beat Philly 27-17. Aaron Rodgers still has it. He goes bonkers against the vaunted Viking defense. All that Rodgers did was go 32 of 44 for 364 yards and 4 touchdowns. And the Packers, and in fairness to Rodgers and the Packers out there, imagine what Rodgers would do if he had Mahomes' weapons.
Yeah.
Now, could Mahomes do what Rodgers is doing with the personnel that Green Bay has? I would say yes. I think it's possible. But what would Rodgers do with Kelce and Hill and Hilaire and Watkins? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, some good things.
Yeah, I think so. The Bills, are they a contender to knock off the Chiefs in the AFC? Josh Allen threw for over 300 yards. First time in 45 games a Bill quarterback threw for over 300 yards. He did have two lost fumbles, but they beat the Jets 27-17. Chargers beat Cincinnati 16-13. Tyrod Taylor, the quarterback. Chiefs go to the Chargers this Sunday pregame at 2 o'clock on Z96.3 of the Lake. So all the AFC West is won so far. We'll say so far. I'll explain in a moment. The Cardinals knock out the Niners. If there is a sleeper team in the NFL, and I was talking to my buddy Todd about this the other day, I think the Cardinals are it. And then they go out and they beat the Niners, although they do match up with the Niners for some reason. They beat the Niners last year. Kyler Murray is a matchup problem. They beat the Niners 24-20. How did Deshaun Watson feel right now? DeAndre Hopkins, 14 catches, 151 yards. Watson, you know, couldn't do much against the Chiefs defense and doesn't have that weapon. Not Watson's fault that Hopkins was traded.
No.
Steelers at the Giants tonight at 6:10, two games on Monday Night Football, and the Titans are at the Broncos at 9:20. If the Broncos win tonight against the Titans, then the AFC West will all be 1-0.
Notable. We'll see how it goes.
Notable. And the NFC West, every team won except the defending NFC champion, Niners. Baseball, Royals are red hot. They win over the Pirates 11-0. And so many people don't understand how young Brad Keller is. He's 25.
Line drive to left. Olivares. Did he make the catch? Yes, he did. And Brad Keller has his first major league complete game shutout.
Keller only struck out two, but he got 13 ground outs. Complete game helps when you're up 11-0. Royals scored four in the first, six in the third. Hunter Dozier, his sixth home run. Salvador Perez activated Friday from the injured list, hit his fifth home run yesterday. Royals have won six in a row. They've scored 44 runs during that six-game winning streak. They're now 20-28 on the season. Mike Matheny about his ace pitcher getting his first career shutout.
It's fun to watch. You know, you get down to that. We talked about it with Brady. I mean, that's historic. But this complete game shutout's a big deal for our pitchers. And given the opportunity that he was as efficient as he was, I think it sends a message to the rest of the guys, too, the kind of pitching I know they want to have it on a consistent basis. But it was a great job by Brad.
So the Royals win their sixth in a row, and now they're only a game out of fourth place to get out of the cellar. And they play that team tomorrow night. Tigers 20-26, Royals 20-28. Danny Duffy will be on the hill for the boys in blue, record 3-3, ERA 4.24. And Adalberto Mondesi, as bad of a year as he's having, he's just the second Major League Baseball player since 1900 to record a home run and a stolen base in three consecutive games. And he did that four out of six games, actually.
Yeah.
So he's coming on a little bit, although yesterday he was 0-4 with three strikeouts. Here's why you got to be optimistic and you got to like the future of the Kansas City Royals. Just looking at the last three games, this should give you hope. Chris Bubich, his first career win on Friday, five innings, one run, left-hander. Carlos Hernandez showed potential on Saturday. I know he gave up three runs in three innings, but he's got electric stuff. And yesterday, Brad Keller, a Rule 5 pickup. Give Dayton Moore a lot of credit. 25-year-old, he's the ace on this staff. He's only 25, and he had a complete game shutout yesterday. And, oh, by the way, Brady Singer, his last start, he had a no-hitter through 7 2/3, and he's 24. And they got guys in the down the minors that are getting closer that might knock out some of these guys out of the rotation.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the Royals could be scary good if this pitching comes along. You know, the Royals might like to have a guy back, though. There is a guy that pitches for the Chicago Cubs, and he manhandled the Royals earlier this year, and yesterday he threw a no-hitter.
Up the middle! Baez has it! It's a no-hitter! The former college walk-on has made history!
What a story. A walk-on in college, Alec Mills, who was a late draft pick by the Royals, played for the Royals for a very short period of time. He's 28 years of age. He's in the rotation only because of injuries for Cubs pitchers. And he's been great this year. He threw just 114 pitches, and there's really no close calls. You know, sometimes there's that diving catch, or you get a questionable called third strike or something weird like that. Nope. And they won 12-0. The Cubs did.
Yeah.
Alec Mills, a no-hitter. Good for him.
It's just fairly obvious that that's not what people expected him to be, was what he's doing this year and really pitching. Not just the no-hitter, but pitching well, like you said, pretty much this season he's been doing well. And, yeah, they traded him for some guy off the scrap heap for the Cubs. Maybe one of their low prospects or something like that. And
he actually was outfielder. I think was got on the Royals roster, but I forgot the name.
Deweese, that was who it was.
Yeah. So Alec Mills, a no hitter. That's a great love. You love to hear those stories. A guy that was a college walk on and then able to do that. Oh my! You know, I'm gonna call him. I know this is too easy, but I'm gonna call him Mad Max for this comment. First game means nothing. Mad Max is a big Jayhawk fan. Okay. He goes, first game means nothing this year. Big 12 championship. So far, Big 12 looks doable. Well, I can't disagree with that. I think Arkansas State has a chance, or Coastal Carolina, to win the Big 12 this year. Now, granted, we need to keep in mind that Oklahoma's probably going to be pretty good. But after that, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't. Whew. NBA, I have to admit, I am surprised. The Nuggets were down 16 in Game 5, came back and won over the Clippers. Then, Game 6 yesterday, they're down by 19 points in the third quarter. I mean, this thing should have been over.
It was for me, and then I found out they came back and won. I'm like, okay.
Nuggets go a 17-0 run, outscored the Clippers 30-16 in the third quarter. Nikola Jokic was the best player on the floor, which is saying something. Paul George had 33 yesterday, Kawhi Leonard 25. Jokic, 34 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists, shot 59% from the floor and was 4 of 6 from 3. Lakers are loving this because if the Lakers get the Nuggets, they got to be like, we avoided the Clippers, because I know they're more worried about the Clippers than the Nuggets. But remember what we said, and this sounds so crazy, but let's go back to something we said before the playoffs began. What did you and I both say? Who was our sleeper to win the West?
The Nuggets.
The Nuggets. And then they're down 3-1, and we pretty much jumped off the wagon, or at least I did. I was like, that's that. That's done. And they should have been done in Game 5 against the Jazz. Came back.
Yeah.
Won. Forced us to Game 6. Won Game 6. Won Game 7. Momentum changed. Here we are. They're down 3-1 to the Clippers. They have a chance to be only the 13th team, but they could do it twice in one postseason. And granted, it's in a bubble, which maybe there's an asterisk because of it. I don't know. But now, Game 7, there's no home court advantage for the Clippers. There's no hostile environment. Nuggets have momentum. All the pressure in the world is on the Clippers. You know the Clippers have never been to the Western Conference Finals?
I do know that.
Never.
Yes.
Never. Tells you how bad they've been over the years. But Kawhi and Paul George, the Clippers could end up losing, and it might not be Lakers-Clippers, which everybody's just assumed it would be, including myself.
Oh, the league definitely wants that for sure. Oh, yeah. LA in the
how many calls will go against the Nuggets tonight?
Yeah.
Just so they get that ratings bonanza.
What if – then you think about it, like Denver wins. What if it's Denver and Miami in the finals?
In the NBA finals? Yeah. Well, those two decent-sized markets, but not on the coast.
It's not what people want.
No. Not well. I mean, I would enjoy the NBA executives don't want it.
Yeah, I mean, right. I would enjoy it. But
there's
TV, NBA, and there's a lot of fans that don't want that either. That are just NBA fans that don't have a certain team that's still alive right now.
This is simple. The NBA wants Lakers-Celtics.
100%.
LeBron versus the Celtics. I mean, that's what they would love. First time in the playoffs with the Lakers, second year for LeBron, going up against the Celtics. Celtics have 17 NBA titles. Lakers have 16. Celtics outlast the Raptors in 7 games. I picked the Raptors. Darn it. Dusty picked the Celtics. Got that one right. Celtics against the Heat. Eastern Conference Finals. Game 1 will be tomorrow. There are no games today in the NBA docket in the bubble. No games today. Game 7 tomorrow night will be the Clippers and the Nuggets. So who are you going to go with? Clippers or Nuggets? Game 7. I'll stick with the Clippers.
I'm going to stick with the Clippers, too, this time.
All right. That's 8 o'clock tomorrow night on ESPN. Nuggets, Clippers, Game 7. Winner gets the Lakers. NHL playoffs. The Lightning over the Islanders 4-1. Tampa Bay leads the Eastern Conference Finals 3-1. Western Conference Finals, Dallas is up 3-1. They have a chance to close it out tonight on NBC Sports Network against the Las Vegas Golden Knights. If you're a tennis fan, well, no fans at the U.S. Open. No Novak Djokovic. He was defaulted, of course, and disqualified for hitting a line judge in the Adam's apple with a tennis ball. So he's no longer in it. So it came down to Osaka and Azarenka for the women's final.
Naomi Osaka, champion of this most unique U.S. Open.
She got blitzed first set, 6-1, came back, won the second and the third set. Osaka, her second U.S. Open title. So congratulations to her. And on the men's side, I was cheering for team to win it, and then I saw he's down 2-0. I'm like, okay, so much for that one. Next thing I know, it was in a 5th set tiebreak. I'm like, wow. And can you imagine how awesome it would have been had there been the crowd there? But it was weird not having the crowd there. And they both, you know, had some letdowns and had some errors. And I think the energy of the crowd would have helped both of them have a little bit more quality tennis. But team comes back down 2-0. He's the first tennis player in U.S. Open history in 71 years to come back from 2 sets down in the finals and win the championship at the U.S. Open, and he got it done over Zverev.
So the match, team.
It's Dominic Thiem's time.
3-6-2. 2-6.
Last
4-6,
man standing
6-4.
At the U.S. Open.
7-6.
Flattern is back at the moment. First of his generation to join the Grand Slam Champions Club. A fresh face. What a fight.
I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him because he'd come close a few times but kept getting beat by Nadal or Djokic or Djokovic or Federer, and he was in the U.S. Open final. Was that last year against Nadal, or was it 2 years ago? I don't remember, but I remember watching the match. I was thinking last year, and Nadal beat him. Maybe it wasn't the final. Maybe it was the semis. But anyway, Nadal beat him, and I was like, man, I like his game. I like the way he plays, and I was hoping he maybe get a major, and he did. So congratulations to him. So there you go. Ohio State Buckeyes got a defensive back who's very good. His last name is Wade, so how cool is he? Sean Wade is opting out to prepare for the NFL draft.
Can't
blame him because, one, doesn't even know if they're going to play anyway. So he's going to – there's another athlete, top guy, opting out, although if the Big Ten doesn't choose to continue football anyway, it doesn't really matter, does it? Although I think the Big Ten is going to change their mind. There's too much money at stake. Too much money.
Seems like they're leaning that way.
Nebraska says, the state of Nebraska, this phase four of the reopening would allow full capacity at Memorial Stadium. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Hmm. So if you do have Big Ten.
I can't believe it, actually, but yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, Big Ten football, possibly Nebraska's first game could be a packed stadium. Possibly.
Yeah.
First things first. Big Ten's got to decide what the heck they're going to do. We'll see what happens. We might have more on that coming up tomorrow on the Sports Ticket. So in summary, boys and girls, football bad.
I said everybody's complaining. Like, I don't know if you saw my tweet last night. You know, Riley's a Cowboys fan and a K-State fan, so he was complaining on Twitter. I put the gif of Andy Reid at the Super Bowl. How about those Chiefs? I said, if you play this loud enough, it'll drown out the rest
That's
of it.
Right. That's right. That's right.
So I was like, I'm all right. You know, my team won on Thursday. I got a team that just won the Lombardi Trophy, and they're right on course right now. And I'm like,
absolutely.
The heck with the rest of it.
You ride with that. You ride with that team. You ride with the Chiefs, baby. And you ride.
Who
would
have thought that the Chiefs would be the one we're riding with? You know.
Well, yeah. I mean,
prior to Patrick Mahomes being drafted.
I'm all for it, man. Ride the Chiefs bandwagon all the way to hopefully another Super Bowl, and let's be honest, nobody thought K-State or KU that either one was going to probably win the Big 12 or go to the playoff or win a national championship. That doesn't mean you still don't have hope for your team to be better and win and have a good record. And I think certainly K-State fans expect, and we talked about last year with Riley when he was on with us, and he agreed with us, and we talked about it ad nauseum, is did Chris Klieman's first year create maybe unrealistic expectations going into year two because they overachieved and won 8 games and went to a bowl game? And, you know, Riley said it last year on this show. He said, listen, K-State's losing a lot. They're going to lose their whole line, this and that and whatever else. He said next year they might be hard-pressed to get the 6 or 7 wins. And here we are, first game of the year, lose to a team that was missing 9, count them, 9 starters, and yet Arkansas State still came into Manhattan and won. So, you know, the warnings are there. They have been there. But I think because of COVID-19 and just the fact that people maybe haven't followed things as closely, you didn't have, you know, spring games so you could see these guys and whatever, you just think that everybody's back and K-State's going to win 9 or 10 this year. And that's obviously not going to happen.
No. Not looking that way.
No. Well, if they got to win 9, they got to win the rest of them.
Exactly.
And I don't think too many people think K-State's going to win in Norman, but K-State people didn't think they'd win against Oklahoma last year in Manhattan either. So anything's possible. Just remember it was just one game. And as Mad Max says, the Big 12 is doable, even for the Jayhawks. Quit laughing. Please stop it. Everyone, settle down. Calm down. Have a good day.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.